Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And we both welcome you back to the New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find all the information available at NewWorldNextWeek.com. We apologize for not making a new episode for a few weeks, but we are doing the best we can to give you the best alternative news and analysis that I think a lot of you have come to trust from New World Next Week. James, we have quite the history of covering what hasn't been covered, and it's thanks to the folks at Project Censored. They have put out their latest report of some of the most censored stories in the news, and I'll provide the link to our own weekly free newspaper here in Portland called the Willamette Week, which, ironically, it's funny, they list all these censored stories, but they never bother to cover any of these stories themselves. But they call it covert coverage, and it gets into, of course, Obama's police state, troubled oceans, and Japan's radiation, topping Project Censored's latest report of news stories ignored by big media. James, I think you and I, if we blast through this list of 10, many of these stories we have covered either directly or indirectly on New World Next Week, which, again, we strive to give you the news that you're not getting elsewhere. So number one on their list, signs of an emerging police state, of course, noting that Obama's continued to carry the football on from the previous puppet Bush. And if you thought he was change-a-luya and forward and all that, all you got to do is check out the National Defense Authorization Act, of course, which allows for indefinite detention, and we can assassinate anyone abroad if we say that they're a terrorist. Oceans in peril is number two. Fukushima fallout over the U.S. is number three. FBI agents responsible for terrorist plots is number four, and that hits us right here in Portland, Oregon, as I'm sure it does in many of the other cities of folks out there watching this. Federal Reserve loaned trillions to major banks. Small network of corporations run the global economy. Number seven, the International Year of Cooperatives. Number eight, NATO war crimes in Libya. Prison slavery in the United States. And number 10, H.R. 347, the so-called anti-Occupy bill, making protest criminal. James, I know just on the brief glance at that, we've covered extensively the NDAA. We have covered Fukushima. We have covered FBI instigating terrorist plots. We have covered the Federal Reserve and the private central international banksters. We've covered so many of these things, haven't we? War crimes in Libya, James.
Absolutely. So my hat's off to Project Censored for highlighting these stories. I think all of those ones that they're talking about are important. I'd be hard-pressed to come up with another list. And if you do think of some others, there's in fact a top 25, so you could continue going on and seeing if it's in that top 25 list for 2013. But absolutely, just very important stories. Of course, Fukushima here in Japan and their coverage of that is important in trying to highlight that. Of course, NDAA, I think, probably is the number one story for over the last year in terms of what the media has not been talking about, despite the fact that all the polls and studies show that NDAA is something that Americans are extremely concerned about, but no one's talking about it. War crimes in Libya, an absolutely huge thing to be highlighting, especially as we're on the verge of something similar perhaps playing out in Syria. Maybe it would benefit us to actually know what happened there in Libya. All of these stories, again, just so important. So once again, my hat's off to Project Censored for doing this. And I have invited Project Censored on the Corbett Report a couple of times now to talk about this list and have not received any response. So if anyone out there wants to see someone from Project Censored on Corbett Report, why don't you drop them an email and tell them so in a friendly and inviting manner.
So, James, in relation to the NATO war crimes in Libya, of course, you know, we see more and more coming out by the day about, of course, the lies surrounding the 9/11 2012 event. And of course, now we've got U.S. troops in Jordan encircling Syria. So the international police state on all of these levels only continues to grow. And again, these are going to be the kind of things that we will strive to continue to bring you on Media Monarchy, on Corbett Report, and the New World Next Week. James, our second story. Weren't these the guys that funded our current president here in the United States? From the Los Angeles Times, ex-Goldman Sachs director gets 2 years in jail for insider trading. Rajat Gupta, former director of Goldman Sachs, will spend 2 years in jail and an additional year on supervised release for his role in a sprawling insider trading scheme on Wall Street. U.S. District Judge Jed Rakoff ordered Gupta to report to prison December 11th and pay $5 million in fines. A jury convicted Gupta of securities fraud and conspiracy, there's that word, in June of this year. Federal prosecutors had sought a prison sentence as long as 10 years. Gupta's lawyers asked Rakoff for a term of community service, helping homeless youth in New York or rural poor in Rwanda. Gupta is the highest profile figure in the federal government's campaign against insider trading, which Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney in Manhattan, has called rampant on Wall Street. Once head of the prestigious consulting firm McKinsey & Company, Gupta also served on the boards of Goldman and consumer goods giant Procter & Gamble & Company. So, James, the war on insider trading is in full swing, so they're going to eradicate this, right?
good one. Allow me to insert a joke about prosecutors being conspiracy theorists here. A lot of different ways we could poke fun at this, but absolutely that this is actually indicative of some newfound thrust of actually trying to round up insider traders, of course, is not the case. This is part of an ongoing FBI DOJ investigation into insider trading that's part of a PR campaign to basically make the U.S. Government look like it's doing its job. And as someone notes on the article there in the comment section, you get more for an armed robbery of a 7-Eleven than you do for a multi-year, multi-million dollar Wall Street insider trading scam. So that goes to show where these prosecutors' real priorities lie. And unfortunately, again, this is just a smokescreen for all of the investigations and prosecutions that have not resulted from the largest financial scam in the history of the world, the trillions and trillions of dollars that have been filtered out to the very people who are sitting on the heads positions of the banks, and they are also sitting on the board of the Federal Reserve determining where this bailout money is going. That's part of that Project Censored story we pointed to earlier, talking about the trillions going to major banks. Well, here is the fruits of that. It means that basically everyone at the very top of this food chain gets a get out of jail free card, and everyone at the bottom gets screwed And hey, maybe this Gupta guy really deserves to go to jail. Maybe that he is a horrible scamster, but I think we could have found better ways to invest prosecutors' time than going after this one small fry, especially when the SEC dropped any pretense of an investigation into Goldman for their admitted selling crap MBS securities to their customers and then betting against them, which came out during the Senate investigations. So again, this is all smokescreen. They're not going after the real financial terrorists who are literally holding the global economy at gunpoint, and it's really just designed to make people go back to sleep. Oh, look, they're doing their job. They're rounding up the bad guys on Wall Street. So, one small fry, very large ocean of criminals still left to go.
And we know how deeply Wall Street, drug running, and all of those things are all so intimately connected. And James, I think there's even breaking news today that Bank of America is suing the Federal Reserve. So again, it's fascinating to kind of watch all of these piranhas, pick your own metaphor, all kind of turn on each other. But ultimately, we don't have to play their game, and we can take our money out of their banks, and we can invest it in our own credit unions and our own alternative currencies, and we can hopefully let these monsters all destroy each other.
That's the plan. What do we got up third?
Our third and final story, James, this week, as I think we've tried to do in the last several months, is end on some kind of bright note, some kind of good news update. And I think this counts. I personally believe this counts, and we'll take it from my own foodworldorder.com as well as from our own Oregonian here in Portland, Oregon. Water advocates put city council fluoridation vote on hold. Now, this news broke a couple of weeks ago. Essentially, we've covered this, James, on our Food World Order reports, and I believe we also did an update on New World Next Week. They were trying to force fluoride into the water here in Portland, Oregon, one of the last big cities in the country that didn't have fluoride. So they were going to rush it. So essentially they said, oh, okay, well, if you guys want to put this on the ballot, you're going to have to get 20,000 signatures by X day. We turned in 43,000 signatures a day ahead of the schedule. So as if that's not good enough news that we put the brakes on this you know, massive rush towards putting an unnecessary chemical toxic in our water, then we knew it had to go deeper, unfortunately, and it's started to come out. And again, this comes from the Oregonian. Portland City Council calendars don't show meetings reported by fluoride lobbyists. Fluoride lobbyists reported meeting personally with all five members of the Portland City Council in July or August, but only one of those initial meetings appears on public calendars under a vague heading, leaving lingering questions about the effectiveness of the city's lobbying and reporting requirements. Upstream Public Health is one of the folks, one of the names behind the push to add fluoride to Portland drinking water, but its plan has since been challenged through the referendum effort that is hopefully going to block the city council's unanimous September 12th approval. According to a recently filed disclosure, lobbyists reported meeting with commissioners. That is, the fluoride lobby said, yeah, we met with all these Portland guys. But those same city officials who are required to publicly post their calendars on a quarterly basis either didn't disclose the meetings about fluoride or left a vague subject heading. And it gets into the individual city council members and what they say. And others say, oh, well, I wasn't even there anyway. So this came out and it was just, a big aha. We knew there had to be something dirty behind this because of the overwhelmingly fast push that they went for. So there's other good news about anti-fluoridation. We'll provide that in the links. And again, don't take our word for any of these stories. Go research them for yourself. Foodconsumer.org gets into lots of other good news on anti-fluoridation moves in Missouri, in New York, in Iowa, in Florida, and James, even in Saskatchewan.
Hey, well, my hat's off to the people in Portland for keeping on this issue and not letting it just get steamrolled through, because, again, it goes to show that coordinated action by a concerned community can put the brakes on some of these projects, no matter how determined they are to railroad it through. So have you seen or heard much in the sort of local press about this? Is it getting a lot of coverage? Are people talking about it?
Other than the day the story broke, I have not seen a whole lot about it. But it was you know, kind of front page news again on the Oregonian when it was basically, you know, the city council calendars don't show meetings reported by the lobbyists. But then it kind of went away as so many other, I think so many other towns and cities will find, if there's a salacious kidnapping and murder story, that's going to take all the attention away. And it kind of has here in Portland recently.
Well, that's unfortunate, but again, we have to keep bringing it to the people and highlighting it when we do have successes, because successes do come and people can make a difference when they do step up. So once again, my hat's off to all the people involved in that.
Yeah,
I did have someone on talking about that issue with Clean Water Portland.
Clean Water, yeah, Kaminsky. Yeah, she and so many other folks, yeah, did a ton of fantastic work.
So hopefully we can follow up on that in the future. And speaking of the future, I hope we're going to be back with you next week at the same time.
I think so. So we've maybe noted here before, and that's one of the reasons why I've kind of put the Media Monarchy weekly podcast on hiatus. I got a new job in big time radio. It actually pays my bills. I work for Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. It's at groundzeromedia.org. It's kind of a paranormal, parapolitical kind of show. And of course, it's been October, so that's Halloween month. But in just the last week, we've interviewed folks like Peter Lavenda and William H. Kennedy, and folks kind of getting into the occult and the parapolitical. So, you know, if you like a little bit of red ice in your truth cocktail, I would recommend checking it out. But hopefully, yes, James, we can get back on schedule with New World next week, because this is easily, you know, some of the most important work that I'm involved in.
Well, as the sun sets here in Japan and it starts to look more spookily Halloween-like, well, my hat's off to you in Portland for being up at 1 in the morning recording this. So once again, thank you for this, and I'm looking forward to it next time.
All right, man. Thanks so much. Take care.